Are rapid COVID tests the key to reviving the air travel industry? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Italy, one of the European countries first and worst hit by the coronavirus pandemic, is trialing compulsory COVID testing at Rome's main airport. Passengers must receive a negative result before boarding some domestic flights and after arriving from international destinations. The move comes as the global travel industry is trying to avoid financial ruin by getting passengers back in the air. The BBC's Mark Lowen sent this report from the Italian capital.
Only passengers who test negative for COVID-19 will be permitted to board this flight.
Tickets, passport, and a compulsory negative test result. Welcome aboard Europe's first COVID-free flight. All the passengers on this Rome to Milan service need to have been tested at Rome's Fiumicino airport before the flight or elsewhere within the previous 72 hours and to show proof of it before being allowed to travel. These are the guinea pigs of Europe for a scheme not only designed to reassure passengers but also to help air travel to recover. And if successful, this could be rolled out for other domestic and international flights.
It is fast, and I have to came to the airport just 2 hours before the airplane.
Does it make you feel more confident about flight?
Yeah, really, because even if someone has the mask down the face, I feel more secure and confident with the other passenger.
For now, two of Alitalia's 7 daily Rome to Milan flights demand the negative result to board. A trial that, according to the airport's director, Marco Troncone, should be an example to others.
We think this is a concept which can actually be applied throughout Europe. I'm thinking of London Heathrow, very much exposed to traffic flows to from US, but it's very important to join forces and make some step ahead, forming clean, sanitized, COVID-free corridors, which do not reserve any real restriction on arrival.
Well, this is where the COVID testing takes place inside the airport. I'm on the arrivals floor. Passengers who come in from certain countries or who now want to fly to Milan queue up here, take a ticket, then they're led through into one of the booths to have the nasal swab. They're being told that the result comes through in just 30 minutes. It's quick, it's efficient, and it allows Italy to get around the need for mandatory quarantine.
Mark Lowen reporting there. Checking the numbers now, global stocks are weighed down by a fresh tech sell-off on Wall Street and the Fed's announcement it'll keep ultra-low interest rates around for at least the next 3 years. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is down 0.7%, while shares in Asia ended down as much as 1.5%. Meanwhile, data out today showed New Zealand's economy is officially in recession for the first time in 11 years. To India now, where another record rise in daily coronavirus infections has brought the country's total case count to above 5 million. It's adding more new cases a day than any other country in the world, fueling concerns about how the economy will continue to cope with the pandemic. Official forecasts predict a 10% contraction this year. The government has allocated tens of billions of dollars to help battle the economic crisis, but there's some head-scratching today over a new multi-million dollar contract that's been awarded to Indian conglomerate Tata. The BBC's Aranade Mukherjee explains.
What we're looking at is $117 million to refurbish the existing parliament complex. But this is part of a larger $2.7 billion government project to give a facelift and modernized old colonial-era government buildings in the heart of Delhi. Even when this plan was initially announced, which was in October last year, many had questioned the need to spend so much at a time when India's just coming out of its lockdown, battling a rising number of COVID-19 cases, growing at an alarming rate. The economy is contracted by the worst in decades. Where is the government going to get this money from?
As you say, why hasn't the government put this plan on ice?
The government says that, look, this parliament complex dates way back to the 1920s. Now, since then, various parliamentary constituencies have increased and therefore so have the number of parliamentarians. And the staff, their simple argument is this parliament complex isn't big enough. They also, interestingly, want to build this by 2022 so that it can coincide with India's India is celebrating 75 years of its independence.
And where is the government going to get the money to fund this project?
That is the million-dollar question. In the same week, on Monday, the government asked for parliamentary approval to infuse nearly $2.72 billion to help the ailing banking sector here in India deal with the prospects of bad loans, which are likely to rise. So the message that the government has given is that we are cash-strapped. But the question is, then where are you going to get this money from for this kind of a luxurious project at a time when India is battling a national crisis?
More questions than answers then. The BBC's Arunaday Mukherjee in New Delhi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finally, if you're listening to us before starting work from home today, maybe you can sympathize with one of the UK's biggest retailers. Clothing store Next released better-than-expected financial results today, but the company had a rather more sour take on home working. In one blistering section of their earnings report, the firm complained of large video calls being unwieldy, frustrating, and inefficient, and went on to bemoan what they called one of the world's most damaging business practices, slideshow presentations that transform meetings from productive exchanges of ideas into boring one-way lectures with the presenters rattling through bullet points already visible to their stultified or unenthusiastic audience. No comment on the quality of some of the video meetings I've been on, but do share your stories, good and bad, with me. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.